Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Something's not right here if we're following a rabbi that taught these crazy things named Jesus in this great sermon. It says, seek first the kingdom. And we had sought first a kingdom, but it just wasn't his, it was ours. Yeah. And we had been building our kingdom instead of his kingdom. And we knew we had to make some pretty big life trajectory changes that day.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome to Compassion Radio. So glad to have you with us today, friend. Now, who doesn't love to hear testimony stories that invoke God's great power that might include a dramatic tale of an individual brought to his or her knees, perhaps even hitting a place we call rock bottom? Well, maybe your testimony of faith isn't quite that dramatic, or like mine, even kind of ho-hum. Ever thought about how God allows certain things to happen in our lives in order to soften our hearts? On today's broadcast, Bram welcomes in another new friend who has a powerful testimony of faith that will surely capture your heart and pull you in. Here's Bram to make introductions.
It's my pleasure to introduce somebody new to our Compassion Radio audience. We've done that a lot recently, and I'm glad for that because our audience needs to know who are the new up-and-coming leaders, thought leaders in their communities and in their generation. And the pastor sitting across from me is Peter Jackson. Now, I understand, Peter, that you bear the burden of having to be compared with a certain director in New Zealand, and the rest of your life you'll be assumed to be involved with the Lord of the Rings. But you had the name before the movies were out, so I'll give you first credit on that. Peter Jackson, pastor of the Foundation Church here in Dripping Springs, Texas. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we run across each other because of mutual friends, and my pastor was your mentor and youth leader as you were coming up. You've got an interesting story in and of itself, but because we got to see you in the pulpit last Sunday, I was convinced you had some important things that our audience needed to hear, because you are very much about bridging generations and helping to build a sense of community between generations to the purpose of affecting God's Great Commission locally and internationally. And of course, that's a huge passion for us in this program. So I want you to talk a bit about the issue of community and how you get to that. And along the way, we're going to talk about a couple of really incredible personal stories that have given you a huge amount of faith that God does, in fact, intend to do miraculous things in this generation. Why? Because you've seen it firsthand.
The community is so important. God created us for community, and he interacts with communities historically through all of time, and he's continued to interact the same way throughout all of time. As I was speaking on Sunday about his consistent interaction, some personal interaction I've had with community that God has really blessed me with was definitely through youth ministry for a number of years here in Dripping Springs. One story that particularly stands out to me, I had one student that I knew maybe the home life wasn't ideal, and one day when I took him home from a church meeting, I dropped him off at a pretty run-down single-wide trailer house, and he was telling me about how the man that lives there is angry at his mom right now, so his mom's staying in his room, and his sister's staying in his room, and his sister's child is staying in his room. It's a 17-year-old young man that's having to help raise his nephew and take care of his sister and his mom. Why that stood out to me was because my wife and I, for a number of years, our trajectory in life had been to put nice things around ourselves because of how we grew up. We grew up with a lot less.
Right.
My dad was a pastor, so we went through some thin times. I definitely remember some months as a young man where it was, you know, oatmeal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
And it was like Christmas when someone showed up with some groceries. And so because of that, and my wife, her mom was a single mom, and there was a lot of financial struggles there trying to take care of her and her sister. And so when we both moved out of the house in our teenage years, we were very proud of the fact that we didn't need anybody's help, and we took care of ourselves.
So you're on the way to living the American dream, which is to work hard, bootstrap your way up to something successful. And by all appearances, you weren't just succeeding financially, you were succeeding emotionally and as a family. So we had all the hallmarks of being the big American success story. And yet, suddenly, God put you in a circumstance where you were confronted with a whole range of poverty issues right in your face. And we're talking about a community here out west of Austin, which is fairly wealthy. It's not known for being an armpit of Texas at all. It's a really beautiful country, but there are pockets of poverty. But the poverty you saw there was not just about money, it was about spiritual things.
Yes. Well, the Lord really started dealing with us on that, because after years of putting a good life around ourselves, we were struck with the reality that we can't really weigh in and wade in on this situation, because we're so worried about paying our mortgage of our nice big house we had and paying off our nice cars that we had bought. And the Lord really struck us when we thought about the Sermon on the Mount, and it said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those other material things or emotional things will be added to you. And we had not sought first that. We had sought first provision for ourselves to make up for the things we didn't have when we were younger. And so as we're looking at this young man's house and we're thinking about his situation, and then we're looking at our situation saying, something's not right here. If we're following a rabbi that taught these crazy things named Jesus in this great sermon, he says, seek first the kingdom. And we had sought first a kingdom, but it just wasn't his, it was ours.
Yeah.
And we had been building our kingdom instead of his kingdom. And we knew we had to make some pretty big life trajectory changes that day.
So I want to make sure we define for our audience that we're not talking about a kind of false humility which says, I feel guilty for having nice things. You're talking about a conscious decision led by the leading of the Holy Spirit to say, look at the things you have from my perspective first, and all the rest of the stuff will come into focus. And so what kind of a new focus did God start giving you in your situation and in your ministry?
The new focus God started giving us was, okay, let's take focus off of worrying about keeping the jobs that are paying all these for these nice things, and let's start focusing on the people that are around us that we need to invest in with time, with money, with resources. So step one was, we're selling our house and moving into a garage apartment, not because a nice house is bad. Not because having extra space to have a lot of people over is bad, or living downstairs instead of having to go up and downstairs every day is a bad thing. These are good things. But for us in that time, we knew a part of our soul was dying because our soul was focused on us.
And this is about your story. This is not, again, this is not a moral judgment of other people's stories. God was working on your hearts because he built you this way. And you were being reawakened to the fact that you were to be tender and generous of spirit, not just taking care of business and making sure you had all the important things that the world says you should have if you're successful.
Yes, absolutely. It was a very personal experience that we didn't share with anybody for a long time, actually. People did. We just said, you know, we're selling our house, we're going to move, we're having kids, and we didn't really share this publicly for a long time. Even the student who had greatly affected us that day through his situation didn't know about it for years, because it is a personal thing. We believe that a walk with the Lord is to be personal, and we should all be holding strongly to that which we have attained. And that was one of those things that God gave specifically to us. I know God has specifically given to other people a different ministry and a different approach and a different style of life to attract glory to himself. And for us, this is what it was we were called to look like in this time, and we knew that very specifically.
And whatever you are given as far as your resources or the things he allows you to steward in your lifetime, he wants us to be hospitable. So in some people's cases, they are able to express the wealth that God's given them in ways that do benefit others and provide a place for ministry to take place. Their homes are large and they're spacious. They invite many people in. And they have a hospitable spirit already, and they have a gift of hospitality. But just because you chose to be in a small place does not mean you're exempt from the requirements of being hospitable and being welcoming to people who need you, or need to have this sense of community with you. So what do you do when you're in a small space and you're trying to build community?
That couldn't be more true what you're saying, and that's something my wife and I have definitely debated back and forth when we, you know, we've been in this situation for a while now where we've lived a smaller, and my wife is saying, yeah, how good is it for us, because we can't entertain as many people as we want to, and we can't always build community the way we want to because we don't have as much space. And so that's definitely something we wrestle with the Lord on a regular basis, saying, God, when do you want us to move into a bigger place so that we can have more people back over and use it correctly? Because we talk a lot about, now that we're in a smaller place, we bless more people with dinner and having them over and investing in their lives in a community setting in this tiny place than we ever did with the big place. Hmm. The big place wasn't the problem. The heart was the problem.
Yeah.
And if we are ever given back the opportunity to be back in a big place like that, in a nice house like that, in a different situation, we feel like we could engage in that correctly now because the God has dealt with our hearts, which were the issue, and not the place. Mm. The heart was the issue. The focus was on the things and not people. And now that God has taken those things away and removed the things away, we now have our heart placed on Him and on the people and our community and living lives with other people. We now have way more people over and engage them in our little apartment than we ever did in our big, nice house. And so I feel like we are ready to engage back into, we desperately want to be back into a house and be able to set down roots in a community and be a part of building a community around us instead of this tiny little place where, hey, everybody bring your own chairs so you can have dinner with us. It's not ideal for what we want to build in community, but our hearts were so wrong before, and now God has healed our hearts in that area.
So God's gentle about that kind of corrective. He gets us back to His wavelength of saying, look at the world around you. You've got meadows, you've got trees. The place you live in, this community, is gorgeous. If nothing else, He's given you this whole place. And to live and to inhabit the place that God's given you, you have to think differently about what it means to own things, what it means to be good stewards of what God has given you. Now, you are also in the process of planting a church here in this community, and the name of your church is Foundation Church.
Yes.
So He's, in this story you're telling me, He's removed the house and left you with foundation.
Yes, we now have a foundation on which to build upon, which is Jesus Christ. And as the only foundation which you can build, is 1 Corinthians 3 was what gave me the inspiration for that name in the church. And we have engaged a lot of people in our community. We have built a small group of community right now that we want to grow. And we want to be intentional people that are living lives with other people in a way that makes God look good. The scripture talks a lot of times about live a life worthy of the gospel. And that takes so many different directions. It looks so many different ways. And God has dealt with us in so many different ways to bring us to a place where we feel like we can potentially lead people towards Him through our lifestyle and through the experiences we've gained. One huge experience I've gained in my life as the Lord has dealt with me and bringing me to a leadership position was I have MS. I was diagnosed with MS when I was 22.
Wow. Some truly forthcoming conversation on today's Compassion Radio. It's always such a blessing when our guests show such transparency, such as Peter has done on today's program. And we'll get right back to the interview in just a moment after this special word from Bram.
Thank you to all of you who responded to the call in January with your generous gifts and offerings. Each month, you ask us how you can help keep Compassion Radio on the air and doing the work of informing, inspiring, and celebrating God's work in the most unlikely places. There is no place beyond God's reach, and with your support, there is no place where Compassion Radio can't go to find life-changing stories. Friends, by God's provision and graciousness, you make this work possible. And without you, well, there is no Compassion Radio. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for making what we do possible. Jimmy's got some info on the ways we'd like to say thank you this month for your support. And keep praying for us that the Lord would raise up many Compassion Radio Vision partners like you and grow this compassionate family of world changers. May God bless you abundantly from the richness of His storehouse.
Thanks, Bram. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And 24/7, you'll find us on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Now, let's get back to the program.
I was diagnosed with MS when I was 22. And within a few months, it took me to a really, really bad place.
I can't imagine why. I mean, when you hear the word like MS or the big C or something, when that word suddenly enters into your personal reality, it, for a lot of people, completely obliterates you, and it's the only thing that's left. And people are left with this diagnosis as if that's defining of the person and of your purpose and of your meaning in life. This is all I'll ever be known for. People get stuck there. And yet, we are not supposed to stand up against it and say, I refuse to admit this is for real. But we are instructed by Scripture to bring them under the reality and the completeness of Jesus Christ. Somehow, in Him, this will amount to something that brings Him glory. And you're facing a very young diagnosis of MS, which is not promising from the medical side of things.
Correct.
So, what did God tell you right away to do?
Right away, there was a peace, and it was easy, and faith came easy. My first doctor said, no big deal, a lot of people have MS, you'll be fine. Within about 3 months, I had gone completely blind in my left eye. I lost all my strength in my right leg and my right arm. My feet felt like they were on fire. I had to quit my job, and I was headed for a wheelchair really fast. Mm. Graciously, God's provision for me, I wasn't allowed to get on the medicine. I tried to get on it first because my insurance wouldn't pay for it because of how expensive it was, and that allowed me to get into an investigational study here in Round Rock with one of the greatest MS doctors in the world. Mm. And long story short, I took these crazy investigational drugs through IV for 5 days straight on year one and 3 days straight on year two. And for 6 years, I forgot I had MS. Mm. So what God really taught me powerfully was about 7 years worth of MS. So when it first got really dark and I lost my sight and I lost my strength and I was just coming apart and I'm looking at a wheelchair in the face, I tell my wife, we should never have kids. I don't want to do this to them. They need a dad that can function. I don't want to have kids.
And that seems reasonable. It sounds selfless. But it may not be what God had in mind and what He saw in you.
Yes, I am so glad God did not listen to me. It's another one of those blessings that we run into a lot of times when God said, thanks for the input, I'll take it from here. And so for 6 years, I was cured, basically. And I forgot. I forgot all about that. Then I had a relapse, and things kind of got bad again. They said, it's all right, we'll hit you with, we'll give you more medicine, and you'll be fine again. Great, I got the medicine, we're good. 10 months later, I have another really bad relapse. Mm. For the first time in my life, I'm experiencing things like depression. Mm. I never took depression as a real thing until I'm sitting in my office for 3 days and I can't accomplish anything.
Right.
And I feel worthless and I don't know what to do.
Can I pause here for 1 second about that? You're speaking about something that many people have had to endure quietly for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. They don't understand how they can't communicate the reality of depression as a real condition to others. And I just want to say, it's important to hear from somebody who has been outside of depression, and then God chose to bring inside of it, to understand that God can bring compassion to those who suffer long periods of suffering, whether they're depression or some other kind of physical infirmity. And it's not an easy mercy, but in your case, God allowed you this to soften your heart, to grow you in empathy and your ability to have real compassion as a leader and as a pastor.
Yes, absolutely. I believe God's grace has been most greatly shown through my life, through all the adversity and things I've gone through, and He's taught me how to understand others and how to communicate better with others and how to be a better leader of people. And
okay, so we're at the point now where you're experiencing depression.
I've had a bad relapse, and the big part of this bad relapse was the doctor tells me. So at this point, I have a 4-year-old little girl and a 1-year-old son. Mm-hmm. My 4-year-old little girl at 2 years old was already running a mile and wanted to time it. We're running up and down in Chandler. I kid you not. Yeah. Like, we timed a mile.
And when she was 2 years old.
She did 18 minutes. A little girl wanted to run. She loved it. She was 2 years old in boots and pants. I very vividly remember. And she would race up Enchanted Rock. And so when I have this relapse, the depression hit. And that was bad. But what mainly hit, the doctor said, all the symptoms you're telling me, long term, that means walking disability and coordination disability, and most likely you'll end up with a walker and you're not going to be able to function like you do. Mm-hmm. And my world came crashing down around me as I'm looking at my little daughter that wants to race me up and down Enchanted Rock and wants to play soccer. And I was raised by a dad that taught me how to play football. Mm-hmm. And I now have a son.
Yeah.
That I'm just so excited about teaching how to play basketball and football, and my doctor's telling me you might not be able to walk much longer.
This kind of harkens back to a study I'm working on right now in Ecclesiastes and the twist on that term, chasing after the wind. Sometimes our biggest frustrations and seem futilities are like, it's like chasing after the wind. In your case, the wind is your children. They're flying by you. mm-hmm. and you want desperately to catch up to what they're doing and not miss a thing.
Mm-hmm. So as I'm dealing with these things and you know, upset at God and just feeling sorry for myself, just real sorry for myself, but I knew I needed to tell my church. I needed to preach about it and about the goodness of God even when things are bad. And I wanted to set a good example, even though on the inside I didn't necessarily want to set a good example. I wanted to pout. But I need to tell the church that these things are happening, but it'll be okay. And the night before I preach, my wife, we're laying in bed, and she looks at me and she says, "Do you remember that one day you told me we should never have kids because of how bad MS is?" And I had totally forgotten. It had been 7 years. And that hit me. And it didn't fully take its effect that night. And the next morning, I was also going to lead worship before I preached. And one of the songs we were singing was "How He Loves."
How He Loves.
And John Mark McMillan wrote that song. Right. And he gives a great testimony about it. It was not how much he has loved us, but is it in all the different ways that God has shown his love to us?
Every season.
And I'm sitting here feeling sorry for myself that I might not be able to keep up with my daughter. And God hits me with the fact that you have a daughter. Mm-hmm. You weren't going to have children because of how bad your MS was. And I took it away long enough for you to quit feeling sorry for yourself. And I blessed you with two amazing children. And now you're sitting here mad and feeling sorry for yourself because you don't think you're going to be able to run as fast as them. He says, "Stop it. Look at my goodness in your kids. They're going to love you in a wheelchair or upright. It doesn't matter. And you're going to love them whether you're in a wheelchair or upright. And it doesn't matter. And quit looking at all these circumstances and look at your Savior and look at the goodness he has shown you." And it broke me, and I cried leading worship, and I cried preaching the message, and God gave it to me that morning, and it was just an incredibly powerful way of God showing his goodness in my life, saying, "Yeah, the struggles are here, but look at your children I gave you that you weren't going to have because you felt bad for yourself, and look at the future here. It's like it's your heart that matters. It's not your legs that matter. And that's what your kids need from you. That's what your wife needs from you. So I need you to stop looking at yourself and start looking at them and start looking at me and remember what life is about." Kind of like before with the financial situation, and stop looking at your needs and stop looking at yourself and look around and remember what life is really about.
Peter, it reminds me that God interrupted you long enough to bless you with these things and that you chose to be obedient to this. That it's now growing in you to be willing to have spiritual children. You're not afraid of that anymore. So that this is being paid forward in new ways. New people are coming to know Jesus and being led by you as a spiritual father, that you're not afraid or ashamed or pitying yourself that you won't be able to help them because God's given these children to you. You're grateful.
Yeah.
And now he's giving you a new church to help birth.
Yeah.
And to grow into a real solid foundation, which is the Foundation Church in this community.
And God is using this church plant, again, as another very humbling experience for me and my wife. Again, we were on our own in our teenage years, and we were picking ourselves up by our bootstraps, but we didn't do college. Mm-hmm. I'm working through college right now. I'm almost finished. But in Dripping Springs, in this church plant, the people that are joining our church plant are huge CEOs and just giant, you know, in the business world, and they have big houses and big bank accounts and all these things. And my wife and I went into this feeling insecure. Why would anybody listen to us? Why would anybody follow us? And God has greatly impressed on my heart the equalizer of the gospel.
I want to follow up more on that in tomorrow's program because God is building on a solid foundation here because Peter Jackson and his wife were willing to let God squeak it clean and build a foundation on himself and himself only. We'll learn more about that in tomorrow's program. Peter, thank you for being with us on Compassion.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Now, as we approach the finish line for today, Bram joins us in studio.
Jim, you've done a marvelous job in the past few weeks helping to feather in some of the absolute classics of Compassion Radio with some of the new programming we've been doing. And I'm glad that we've been able to bring new and fresh stories to you. But it's also the power of a faithful heritage that has made Compassion Radio what it is today. And Jim, I thank you for digging deep there to find the best that Norm and Cher had to offer over the years. And it's important for us to understand why we're bringing them back to you now. It's not just because they're incredible programs, but because the projects and the people that are mentioned here are living legacies. And they're people that are continuing to do the work that God wants done in some of the world's toughest places. So thank you for standing with us as we bring you the new classics in the months to come. And keep listening with us as we go, because as we go, you go with us. And we can't go unless you send us. So thank you for your faithful support. If you thought about supporting a Compassion Radio project or the ministry itself directly, consider starting that now, and perhaps even as a monthly continuing supporter. A gift of any size, $5, $10, $20, or maybe $50 a month, goes a huge distance into preparing the stories that bring the world of God's gospel alive and well today to your ears and hopefully to your hearts to change your life where you live today. Please contact us today.
Reach out to us, CompassionRadio.com. You can give safe and secure right there online, or give us a call, 800-868-2478. 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, Jim, the website.
CompassionRadio.com. Come on by and see us, especially if it's been a while. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you drop us a line, pay us a visit.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. Tune in tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.